QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, topic for the evening. We're going to do a primer on APRS. Pretty in-depth topic in itself, like trying to describe the internet in 30 minutes. Anyway, we'll be working on APRS, a couple little things it's doing, been doing, and things like that. Got a few people out there, I would appreciate everybody who would has used this or part of this, please, you know, jump right in there. All right, now call roster. And I don't believe Mike is back, but we'll give him a holler. WB6CLZ, Mike, are you back from Arizona? Okay, don't think so. All right, let's see if we got KA6CIA. George, is he back? Yeah, I think he's over in another part of Arizona. Let's see, don't know if they're on the hill. How about KE6QI, Nancy? Nothing heard. How about KJ6HZS, Mike and Fonskin? Okay, nothing heard out there. How about KJ6FIL, Mike and Redlands?
Good evening, Tom, and everybody else that's not out there. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, glad to hear you down there, and we always know it does thin out about this time of year with the holidays and all, so not a problem. How about KJ6KDL, Jim? Okay, nothing heard there. How about KJ6KDK? And nothing heard there either. Okay, how about WC6GZI, Frank? Nothing heard. How about KI6IQA, Kelly? Nothing heard. How about N6BOP? Ann, are you still out there? Nothing heard there. Okay, how about K6GVL? Ron from Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
Hey, Ron, thanks for being out there. We're trying to scrounge up some people here. How about AD6PL, Harold, in Riverside?
Evening, AD6PL.
Good evening, Harold. Glad to have you with us. How about K6LTS? Clint, is he out there this evening?
Good evening, Tom, and I'll be in a better position for the AMSAT report. K6LTS.
All right, Clint. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Moving on down. I don't know if they're up in town. How about W6JLM, Judith?
Good evening, Tom. We are in town and we are listening. This is W6JLM.
Okay, Judith. And W6KMM, Ken.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM. I'm all ears.
We're glad to have you out there. APRS, we're talking about this evening. We're going to kind of just skim over the top of how well it's used with search and rescue and emergency applications. Anyway, moving on down. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
Hey, Chris, glad to have you with us from the Palm Springs area. Another Palm Springer guy out there. How about W6POO? Chip.
Good evening, Tom, and then Baronet, W6POO here, and happy New Year to all.
All right, Chip, glad to have you out there. KD6LEN, Bill, or are you out there in Boulder Bay? Hey, nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor? Davener there. How about KA6ROD, Ron?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod. Glad to have you with us this evening. KB6LTY, Christy from Apple Valley. And nothing heard there. You know what? That's pretty much worked through our list here. Do we have any guests who would like to check in this evening? Please come back to KF6Q.
K9AOG, Stephen in Long Beach.
Stephen, yes. Sorry, should have called you. I figured you'd be out there. Anybody else?
KJ6RAY. Good evening, Tom.
Ray, good evening. KJ6RAY. Haven't seen you out there in a while. Glad to hear you on the radio. Anybody else out there? Want to check in?
N7WNO, Mike.
N7WNO, 7 Sector. Hey, glad to have you with us there, Mike. Anybody else?
It's Dallas from Fun City, W6AWL. I'm listening.
Hey, Art, got you out there. A little scratchy, but glad to hear you're listening out there. Anybody else?
K6RBK from Sugarloaf.
Ah, one of our guest speakers. K6RBK. Hey, Rob, glad you could break away for a bit. Appreciate that. Anybody else? KC6JTN, I guess he's not out there. Randy?
KC6JTN.
Okay, Randy, please direct us in the right direction if we start screwing up. Appreciate that. Glad to have you with us out there. Anybody else? All right. Well, anybody can join in at any time. If you're out there listening, feel free to ask questions, make suggestions, or add comments at any point in time. APRS, pretty cool stuff. From what I can understand, it's going to be pretty interesting. But Clint, before we get started with there, we don't have Mike for his DX report. Clint, what do you have cooking for our basic AMSAT report?
LCS. I have some incredibly exciting news for Riverside County, Tom. NASA has chosen a project I've been working on, the Waltham Foundation at Flaybob Airport. The kids at Flaybob Airport will be talking to the astronauts aboard the ISS in the middle of April of next year. We were chosen for a ARISS project, amateur radio aboard the ISS. Break for a second. Put our application in about 4 months ago, and we were chosen as an alternate. We were number 5 alternate. But we have had so many successful ARIS programs this year, more than 122 ARIS programs in this calendar year, that we're just scheduling almost, I believe all the alternates that were chosen last year have been chosen and have dates picked for contacts for the first four months of next year. So just horribly, horribly exciting. And I have a website for the project. You knew I would. Just go to ISS-PlayBob, ISS, International Space Station, the little dash, PlayBob, F-L-A-B-O-B, .com. That's ISS-PlayBob.com. And there's a blog there that we're updating with whenever we have a meeting or something happens. But boy, it's going to be a marvelous event of local officials, the media, fellow hams, and a bunch of kids filling a hangar at PlayBob Airport. Arisat-1 has been booming over North America the last week. A wonderful Christmas present for us. But as you all know, its batteries are deteriorating. It's only heard in sunlight. And its orbit, as expected, is decaying. Some said, well, hey, it's 40 miles closer to the Earth. No wonder the signal is so good. But anyway, please work it this week. It's only going to be up for another week or two. You can monitor it with as simple equipment as a handheld, a little better antenna. Monitor 145.95. That's 145.95 as it goes over us. Make sure you choose a source of your Keplerian data wisely, because its orbit's decaying, and if you have a month-old Keplerian data, it'll be a few minutes off. AO-27 and SO-50 are still working for us for FM birds. And, Tom, that's about all I've got. Did I miss anything? K6LCS.
Okay, Clint, I had a couple of questions for you over the last two or three weeks, but I've forgotten them. I'm sure they'll come back. I'll have to write them down. Not a problem. Anyway, as we are discussing APRS, and I know that there's that capability with some of the satellites and the ISS, Clint, please add into this as we go along. Appreciate your report there, Clint. That's fantastic. Let me break for a sec. Okay, we have a couple people out there listening, I know, that are a lot more in tune with APRS than I am. However, I'll let you know what I found out just this afternoon as I've been researching this for K9 AOG. Steve requested that we do a little section on this. Real quick there, Steve, you have a Kenwood, pretty cool radio. Is this the D72, is that correct?
K9 AOG, yeah, that's correct.
It's KO6Q with Tech Tuesday. Are you making any headway with that brochure, the manual that they call it? They try to say tell you it's a manual, but it's just a brochure.
I actually went on the web and looked at some YouTube setups to get it to work. The manual, either I'm not reading it right or it's not straightforward, but there was a tutorial on the web, YouTube, that showed you how to set it up.
Okay, good deal. Well, hopefully this evening we're going to just kind of do a primer on this. Like I said, trying to describe the internet as a bunch of connecting wires between different nodes and actually running lines to homes and businesses would probably be the understatement of the decade, if not the century. In APRS, which actually has been around for a while, from what I found, kind of got its origins back around the early 1980s, really made a big strong point in 1992, where GPS became affordable and was able to link in with this. Really became a really cool thing. Let me reset here. Essentially, I'm going to say it focuses on the 2-meter band. I'm not sure if I'm making any errors here. Anybody out there, feel free to smack me and correct me. But the APRS, in a summary, position locating and data, moving data from point to point, and that true is a very, very brief summary and is very much more than that. But that's at its minimum. Rob, real quick there, I know you've experimented with it. Before we get into great detail, I think we have Randy who's going to help us out here too. Rob, what experiences do you have so far with APRS? I know you've been playing around with that.
Sure. As someone who's heavily involved in IT, it sort of comes naturally that I'm interested in interfacing radio and computers. And so what I've done, and I've really only gotten into APRS in the last year or so seriously, I've played with it before. however, in the last year or so, I've built a few stations and some interface cables, and I've played around with the various tracking websites. And most of the software that I've used has been all Linux-based. I have experimented with Windows. And I've actually set up a mobile station for the car and even have a cable to connect to my HT. And since there are a couple ways to do it, obviously. You can buy a terminal node controller, which will handle all the data for you and interface with software on your computer. Or, if you don't want to spend the money on a terminal node controller, you can build a sound card interface, and there are schematics all over the internet. You can do it for cheap, probably with parts you have laying around, and it takes a little more fiddling around to get it working right. But once you do that, it costs next to nothing. And all you need is a computer and a radio that you can build a circuit that you can get trigger the push-to-talk circuit or the push-to-talk switch and get baseband audio into it.
Okay, well, that's pretty fantastic. And actually, on the surface, APRS, a buddy of mine that I grew up with, ham radio operator, he's in Tucson, Arizona, call sign WB6RAO, that's Ralpha, Romeo Alpha Omega. Yeah, I was going to blend them together there. WB6RAO. He runs a weather site through APRS. He also runs a positioning from all his mobile units, which is kind of cool. This is all linked. The thing, the magic is how does this get on the internet? Well, this is radios. We're talking about how to hook our computers up to our radios. APRS Internet System, IS or IG or Internet Gate, something of that sort, actually picks up these packets and makes a gateway to the internet. This is fantastic because now local information from APRS becomes worldwide available. Let me reset. And to put it all in a nutshell, basically APRS is kind of like a Wi-Fi network that you've had in your house on steroids. What this is, it's basically one station, whether it be your mobile or your HT or whatever, broadcasts out to everything and everything out there that can hear it as a packet. And that packet may be data, position, message, or a query. There's like four different types of packets. And then other receiving stations will retransmit this and send it on its way. There's ways to say, well, don't send this too far, or, you know, don't send this too long because it's going to be old data here pretty quick. Want to just in a nutshell. Randy out there, KC6JTN, how are we doing so far? Are we on track?
Yeah, you do fine. APRS has been around for a while, and it's evolved with technology, but it's still going strong, and it's a lot of weather stations, data information, iGate, internet gates. I used to run one of those for a while. Built about 10 trackers at least, tracker boxes. Ran a weather station, well, I still am running a weather station in Big Bear on APRS. This is KC6JTN.
LCS.
Yeah, go ahead there, Clint.
I'm glad you both mentioned weather, because APRS is not just you know, sticking an antenna on your car and being able to track, have your friends track you while you drive around town, nor, although it's been done every year for the last few years, at least stick APRS on a float at the Rose Parade. But there's more practical and important uses for it, including weather, including tracking runners in a marathon if your stations are a little far apart. There's also APRS aboard the ISS. If you go to ISS Fan Club, it sounds dorky, but it's really good information on the ISS. ISS Fan, F-A-N, club.com. You can get the frequency that they're using for packet and transmit your data through it. But there's a lot of important practical purposes for it. It's not just playing around showing, hey, I'm at Lowe's right now, K6LTS.
Okay, Quinn, yeah, thanks for that information. And like Randy was saying, essentially, it's been around a while, and as technology evolves, we've got all these other different things we can do now. You can basically have a mobile packet, and you intentionally want to send, or a mobile APRS, you're going to send a packet of information to, say, your base, which is listening, hooked into your computer. And that may be controlling something in your house. You could have it turn on your lights. You could have it turn on the heater. This is just a control packet of one talking to the other. You're telling your base to do this. Or read information from your base. Did I leave the lights on? What temperature is it down there in the desert or up there at Big Bear? Or, is it freezing outside? Is it, did the water freeze or whatnot? Many different things there that you can do. The sky is the limit, and a lot of people are now looking at, I think he was talking about RFID, a very new, well, not new, but expanding technology, and tying this in with APRS. Let me reset. So if you start getting involved, you're going to find that the more you research, the less you know. And the more you research after that, the less you still know. But you'll catch up there somewhere along the line. A lot of information out there, a lot of things going on. Everything from real basic, simple tracking. I know that my friend, who's a ham over there in Arizona, right outside of Tucson, wherever he goes, you can see him on the map. I was using a site called findyou.com, F-I-N-D, and the letter U.com. Also, his weather station will pop up and that. Pretty cool stuff. Weather, of course, for Tucson. Let me reset.
LCS.
Yes, go ahead there, Quint, and car horn, too.
Sorry, Tom. My car alarm's going off. It's not me. You're at a stage where I was about 6 months ago. There is so much information out there on APRS. Find someone at Big Bear, find someone in your club who knows the commands for your station, whether it be a mobile station or based at your house. I just act as a relay in Mira Loma. I act as a relay for other stations to go through me to make their communications down to Orange County. But find someone who knows what those intimate settings are. Also, another great site is Bionics, B-Y-O-N-I-C-S. Bion is the gentleman who makes the Tiny Tracker, and have a little Tiny Tracker on display, which is just wonderful stuff, but he's got good info there. But find someone locally here in Southern California, because some of those intimate commands are different here in Southern California than they are in San Francisco, than they are in the rest of the country. And you have some up there in the club. There's people down here who are really good with this stuff. Phil at HRO Anaheim, Phil Pacier at HRO Anaheim is the APRS guru for us also. Thank you, Tom. K6LCS.
Okay, Quinn, appreciate that. And by the way, that site that you emailed me, very good site. A lot of great to-do projects on different directions APRS can go. I did not write it down. I don't have that in front of me. Anybody who would like that information, either email myself at kf6q@arrl.net I'll forward that on to you, or through Clint's site. I'm sure he'd be able to also give you that information. One very good site with APRS. Another one I got from Chip, APRS.org. A lot of good information there, and I think there's a lot out there. It's like anything else. The more you dig, the more you're going to find, and get ready for an overflow of information. Something that probably started out as something really simple has mushroomed into a huge, huge thing, just like the Internet has. Let me reset. Yaesu's radio, the 8R, the newer one, also has a built-in GPS and APRS feature. This is pretty cool for an HT, especially if you do search and rescue, especially if you're working with any emergency groups, whether they be voluntary or just normal first responders and you're off duty, whatever. This is really important, especially if you're up here this time of year. If we had a search this time of year and, say, John and Jim go off in that direction, we don't hear from them. Something happened to them. They hit ice, fell, knocked themselves out. With freezing temperatures, that could mean death. With an APRS GPS locating system, we know exactly where they are. We can go pick them up. So let me reset.
WNO.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, in addition to the Yaesu Handy Talkie, there's Bionix has a all-in-one pocket version of the radio as well. You can put that in your pocket and go. And especially out here in the mountains, it's a really cool thing. I have the ready-to-go version on my motorcycle, and the wife tracks me with it. N7WNO.
Yeah, Roger that, and that's a good thing. One of my good friends here in Sugarloaf, KK6R, Don, commutes off the mountain every day, as many people do. Very cool if you had that in a mobile with GPS. Very easy to go over the side. That would actually give locations, as long as it kept working, I guess. Shock mount that puppy, I guess. A lot of different things, or if you broke down, off someplace, it'll show up pretty much with all the Digipeter forwarding. This and the APRS internet gateways, almost anybody can look up and see where you're at any time. So, great, great feature. Let me reset. So just in the locating alone is fantastic. Just take Don as another example here. His APRS unit could also send out information, data, such as, okay, the inside temperature of the truck, outside temperature of the truck, all kinds of different things. These are just scratching the surface. There's actually a huge list that's a standard command. But like Clint says, this sometimes varies. So anybody out there with any more to add? I mean, there's a million things to add, but please come back to KF6Q.
Hi, K6RBK.
Yes, go ahead, Rob.
Stepping away from the actual amateur radio side of things, it's worth noting, and I know you might get into this later on in the evening, so hopefully I'm not jumping ahead too quick. It's also worth noting that most smartphones nowadays with a data plan, whether it's an Android phone or an iPhone or something else, typically there will be an application available that once you verify that you're actually an amateur radio operator with APRS-IS, you get yourself a passcode, and you can use your data connection and transmit your location information and messages over the APRS network directly via your phone via the Internet. So that's also another option if you are somewhere without a radio, stepping away from the car. You don't have a brand new VX8R. it's another viable option to get your location out while you're away. So maybe if you're on a hike and you didn't have an 8R, but you were somewhere with data coverage, you could still get that data out. Or, you know, like I've heard someone mention the all-in-one pocket tracker. If you don't have one of those, but you do have a smartphone, you still have an option. K6RBK.
Good information there, Rob. Yeah, and I think you and I were talking about that as a really one of the many, many projects back we had. I've backburnered for right now, but that's a good thing there. Using the iPhones and iPad, I'm sure, you know, any Android phone, fantastic. And it's not the same as Echolink, but it is using part of the internet. Just as there's many different things out there that will use that. And we're, like I say, this evening we're just scratching over the surface of this, trying to just show some of the possibilities out there and what can be done. Myself, I would really love to see some type of interface. I'm thinking in the terms of a TNC with the mic and speaker jack of an FT60, somehow working with that. Randy, I don't know if you're familiar with that. If you're still out there listening, would that be a possibility?
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, it's just interfacing to the handheld. I'm not familiar with that radio, but you can interface just about to any radio. One of the things nice about APRS, I have some old Kenwoods that don't even have PL things in them, and they're still usable for APRS because it doesn't use PL. And so you can use older equipment and still use it for a tracker box or for a digipeater or for just an iGate, just depending on what you do. Some of the things that I've done with it is down here in Lucerne Valley, there was a guy a couple of years ago that had sheep. He was monitoring sheep, bighorn sheep in their water supply, and he had an APRS water meter basically measuring the water in the thing. I'm going to reset. And I set up a digipeater to repeat the information from the bighorn sheep water tower thing to his home so he could monitor water levels for the sheep. And so I had a digipeater down here in Lucerne Valley for a long time. Operated an iGate for a long time. I still operate a weather station up there at the Solar Observatory on APRS, and built lots of tracker boxes for ECS for Baker DeVegas. That's used in Baker DeVegas to track the runners and stuff like that. It has a lot of uses, and one of the other uses is recently is to monitor repeater remote sites so you can determine what's going on, voltages and temperatures and problems that may occur. Using the telemetry. This is KC6JTN.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate that. Yeah, KF62 here with the Tech Usenet. And we're looking into, or I'm looking into, and maybe we could pick your brain a little bit about that. Looking at ECS functions up here, we're going to have this next year, as we have every year, bicycles and runners and all that. Saw some pretty neat information on RFID. And possibly linking that in with APRS would be pretty cool. I know there's a way to do that also. RFID in itself is really really a good passive way of, semi-passive way anyway, and there's actually readers that'll pick up. If you were, say, if we had an ECS station on one side of the street, any bicycle or person going by with an armband, is all they are, and they're like, they make them for the doggone water parks, and they would record everybody. So when there's like 5,000 runners coming by, of course exaggerated, did you get the number of that guy? Which one? You know, so be another good way of tracking stuff. So sounds like it's already been done. I think John said he had worked on that sometime, and we'll see if we can expand on that again this year. Let me reset. Anyway, a lot of different things we can do out there with APRS, and like I said, we're just scratching the surface. Steve, glad you asked the question out there. I know we did kind of look into this, just skimmed it, I think, maybe about a year and a half ago, but a very, very, very slight amount of information we had. And, like I said, anybody out there that's further interested, either do a Google on it or email myself or Clint. or anybody else you have heard on tonight, and I'm sure we can get you some more information. Anybody else out there with any questions or comments, please come back.
Oh, LCS always has something to say.
Well, Clint, that's why I like having you out there when you're not busy locking yourself for dinner in a vault and off to Marietta to boot. Go ahead, Clint.
Yes, indeed, there are interfaces for your FT60, and they have been at Bionics. You can wire it up yourself also. But just remember, the system is only as good as your antenna. It is just 2 meter on 144.39 for APRS. So getting the antenna up and out is important. I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. But yes, a lot of people use HTs for it, but just make sure you know that's going to be a limited area. And again, if you do that Google search for APRS, all I wanted to do when I bought my Bionics Tiny Tracker 4 about a year ago at a Hamfest was, you know, what settings do I use to be a digipeater here in Southern California? And the conflicting info is incredible out there. I got like 6 or 7 different settings for it, or different sets of settings for what I wanted to do. My bottom line, I found a website, and you've got a couple of good websites, and also Phil Pacier, who does a lot of work for the Baker to Vegas, and Randy. So between Randy and Phil and Tom's website that he has for you, it'll save you a lot of time. Because honest to goodness, I spent hours looking at and printing out all sorts of different things for my exact question, my pretty precise question, with different answers for different parts of the country. So Tom and Randy will save you some hair pulling. K6LCS.
Well, good deal there, Clint. And like I said, I was really amazed to see that the LEO satellites, I don't know if all of them, but it just said LEO satellites and the ISS can act as digipeaters, APRS digipeaters. Pretty amazing, especially if they happen to be making a pass right at that time. Pretty cool stuff. Once again, this is just one of the many, many, I don't know, hundreds of different applications of amateur radio. Another interesting aspect of that, you may not want to be into digital radio itself if you're still an analog person, but kind of cool thing to add on is a little, with it, like say a TNC, anything that'll interface with an old radio. A lot of us have FT60s or VX170s. Or is it the VX270s? I get them mixed up, the FT170s. But anyway, either way, pretty cool stuff. 2 meter radios, another good use. And I think I got some software and boards from Randy a while back, still sitting there on the shelf. Randy, sorry about that. But do really start to get interest in this as we start getting some time in the winter that we can't do much else but do radio. Let me reset. Anyway, I know it's a pretty cool subject, and we're going to have to get into depth on this. I did not really have enough time to dig into this. And like Clint said, you start digging in a little bit, next thing you know, it's just an explosion of information what's out there. And probably haven't seen enough to even see the conflicting information yet. That's not good to hear. But, yeah, Clint, if you have any other sites besides that one, send them to me. Bionics, yes. I'd like to hear about that, and just send them to my email, and I'll put them out for everybody else out there. But anyway, anybody else with any questions on this pretty cool subject for tonight, I think, APRS, please come back to KF6Q.
FIL.
KJ6FIL. Mike, Redlands, go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about being able to remote. Would there be a way that I could remote start a generator from Redlands to Big Bear?
Yeah, roger that. In fact, I've got a lot of information. It used to be when we all used to use landlines, you know, you could use a landline interface, and you know, or an internet interface or something like that. But like I know where you're talking about, no landline, no internet. But all it has to do is be able to receive, 2 meter radio. So you'd have to have a receiver there, cheap. And when I say cheap, we've been talking about building these HF receivers, you know, just bare bones stuff. A bare bones, if not just something that's like Randy says, no PL, people want to get rid of it, practically give them away, works perfect. So you get the radio for free, and yes, you could, as long as we can get that signal from you to up here. And I know there's digipeters all, I think, in Running Springs and a couple of them out there. So that's the long answer. The short answer is yes.
Okay, another question. What about being able to monitor like the site that we would have up there?
And this is where APRS would be excellent again. And somebody correct me out there if I'm wrong, but what I understand is essentially, say periodically every 3 minutes or whatever, it could update, send a packet out of, say, outside temperature, oil pressure, whether the motor's running or not, is the sun shining, is it raining? There's a whole list of stuff. And it's pretty cool. When you start looking into telemetry type stuff like that, APRS is like really a cool answer, especially since we're hams.
Okay, that because that's kind of what we're looking for is, you know, a way to be able to monitor the battery system and everything solar that we've got up there already, so that we don't have to, you know, run down, you know, be able to remote start a generator that I'm building right now and be able to put it on. We have a 2900 Yaesu up there at the moment, so. Would that be feasible to work off of?
Yes. As a matter of fact, that's probably more radio than what you need. But it's plenty adequate. And like Randy said, we simply hook up a TNC or like Rob said, you know, just audio interface into that. Yes, there is a little bit of what we call glue putting this together. We would definitely help you with that, all of us out here. And not a problem, maybe this towards the summer. Not right now, too cold. But, you know, as we get towards the warmer months, it'd be a cool little project to do. Probably not too difficult to set up. And you don't need a computer up there. All you would need is the radio, and we'll just get a couple of sensor boards and whatever and put just glue everything together, pretty much, as we say in ham speak. And it'd be off and running. As long as you have batteries to the radio and an antenna, good antenna up in the air, which that's not a problem, especially up there.
Okay. Yeah, I think we might be able to do something there. Yeah, we got the radio up there, which I think we can talk simplex down to here. We have done it once, so we can do that. We got the battery power up there. We got solar up there. I'm building the generator now. As far as getting up there, we just made that happen with the quad, with the tracks on it. Had a blast yesterday just running all over the mountain, playing in the snow. And, boy, yeah, that'd be great. Heck, we could even do it anytime right now. We got a nice big fireplace up there ready to rock and roll. Okay, thanks, Tom. KJ6FIL, I'll email you.
Hey, Mike. Cool. I mean, that's one of the, just one of the basic things that APRS can do. In the same sense, a good friend of yours and mine has a place in Lucerne, and I know he's got a couple extra radios because I turned him on to those a while back. Some of those don't have PLs. It would be an excellent use of one of those. You could APRS from down there, keep track of everything goes on down there. About the only thing you can't do with APRS is probably, and I'm going to say this with reservation, you know, you can't do video, but then again, slow scan, I'm not sure what rate that goes through. I know that APRS data rate's like 1200. Maybe you could take a single shot picture of something. I'm not sure if that could be done with APRS. Anybody out there that know anything about that, is it possible to send a picture over APRS with multiple data streams, or is that pretty much stretching it?
Ian?
Yeah, go ahead.
With the guy that was experimenting with that, it was small pictures, but still pictures, and he sent them APRS in that same kind of technique, but I don't think, you know, it really caught on. This is KC6JTN.
Okay, roger that. Thanks, Randy. I was just thinking it could be possible, and as far as catching on, this is another thing, too, and I have to agree with what my dad, this is back in 1981-82, IBM had just come out with a thing called the personal computer. Of course, we'd already seen, you know, Commodores and VIC-20s and a lot of the Atari stuff before that. But he asked me, he said, well, what would you do with it? And, you know, and back then, of course, the Internet was not what it is today. A lot of the interfaces weren't what they are today. And it was actually a good question. Well, let's see, we can type, and we can print, and let's see, play games, yeah. Anyway, the difference between 1981-82 and 2011-2012 computer and how they're used is like night and day. Let me reset. And obviously, with this technology and just basic electronics, not just digital, but just electronics in itself, a lot of what's out there, which used to take a lot of boards and things to do, and all be done on a chip or two, and it's just a matter of doing it. The sky is all of it, really, right now, so a lot can be done. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments or information, please come back. KF6Q.
KQ6 Temecula. YNW.
Hey, station first from Temecula. Wow, I'm glad to see you're hitting our repeater. Go ahead.
Okay, well, real good. Thanks for picking me up here. I just getting through the band here and heard your conversation regarding the APRS. I've got a place in a real simple question, or actually two questions, simple ones. I've got a place in Johnson Valley, do Jeep and out there. I've been thinking about putting an APRS rig in the Jeep just so our base can always have a GPS location of where we're located in case of any breakdowns or anything like that. And what would be a good rig and model number? I found that kind of a difficult thing to research for some reason. And also, what would be a good repeater? Johnson Valley is out in Lucerne Valley, out in, near Yucca Valley. And so that's two questions, a good rig and model number, if you know. And how many, or is there at least one good APRS repeater out there, or is there several?
Essentially, I think what you've got out there, you're going to have digipeater units, actually, even anybody who's got one operating acts as a digipeter. What happens is whatever, let's say if you have a radio out there, it's sending out telemetry, and it's basically you want to get that signal to you in Temecula. As the packet gets sent out, every receiver that receives it returns and retransmits it, and every receiver that receives that returns and transmits it. And, of course, there's a limit to that. If there is, and there generally is, somewhere real in that close loop, it's going to hit an APRS internet gateway where essentially you'll be able to monitor that probably over the internet from Temecula. But either way, it could also get the radio signal back to you, too. If you got a lot of questions about that, give me an email. My call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. That's KF6Q@ARRL.net. Send me an email, and I'll, with the questions, all those questions you have there, we'll dig up some information, and I'll get it back to you.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Actually, we're going to monitor from Johnson Valley. I wouldn't be needing to come back to Temecula. We have a cabin out there, so it'd be, you know, very weekends and concerned about breakdowns and 30 miles away from our base, and just so the rest of the crew would know, you know, where a particular Jeep is at, and that would be, it would just be in that particular area.
Okay, roger that. You know, and this is where it's really, really, here's another application. You know, a lot of Jeepers or dune buggy, I'm going to say Johnson Valley, Glamis people, whatever, you could put an APRS, basically GPS tracker unit, basically what this is, it's just in case somebody does break down. In other words, you can send somebody out with a quad or a dune buggy or a Jeep. They don't have to be a ham radio operator, but this device is in that vehicle, and that will, through GPS, back at campsite, you've got your handy-dandy laptop there, and with the interface working with that, you can basically bring that up on a map and see exactly where they're at. So there, that's another very great application, if that's what you're talking about. It's very doable. More than I can tell you about tonight, but send me an email and we'll get you in the right direction.
LCS.
You know what, that's exactly what I was talking about, having a laptop at the cabin and to monitor, you know, locations and so that's great. I got your I've got your email address. Maybe I'll email you some questions. I also wanted some information regarding rigs. And I know they have the chips you put in there for GPS and all that stuff. And so anyway, I didn't catch your name there. I don't even know what repeater really I'm on here. But thanks a lot for the information. I'll say thanks a lot for all of that. I will email you to find out more information. And this is Tom here in Temecula, KQ6GV, clear.
Okay, Tom, glad to have you out there. My name also is Tom, and glad to have you out. This is the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Up in Big Bear, or up at the top of the ski lift. Anyway, Quint, in order, I have to hand it over to Chris real quick, YNW, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, APRS is interesting. Personally, I don't see it used for repeater parameters. I think it's easier just to do it through the controller. Some repeaters do it audibly. Someone punches it up and it gives the temperature or whatever they want to know. Some are digital, you know, but to me it's a little easier doing it that way. Now regarding APRS, Thursday evening is the, on the Killer Peak, is the AOUSA, they're hams who are outdoors vehicle. And they reported in the New Mexico Badlands, Three Corners and everything, they could hardly find a place that they couldn't key up APRS. They were really surprised. They were most surprised. Back to you, Tom, K6YNW.
Well, that's good to know. You're saying that they were surprised that they could actually do it. They were trying to find a place that it would not come up, especially in places like that. That's great to know. And you know what? Just to add this in, if you keep track of the ISS when it's going over, hey, you know what, it just doesn't matter where you are with that footprint, so, you know, there would always be one little moment of maybe 10 minutes. Go ahead, Quint. K6LCS, this is KF6Q.
For Temecula, Tom, do not depend upon APRS for emergencies. When your Jeep rolls over in the desert, the antenna system will probably get destroyed. So it's not a replacement for your personal GPS or your satellite phone. I apologize, I got to run. K6LCS.
Okay, that's a good point, but I don't have a satellite phone, and I would still like to know where my Jeep is. Anyway, that's probably a little optional there, and it would be a matter of doing whatever one wants to do. Anyway, yes, go ahead. This is KF6Q.
Hi, Tom. W6COO here. During the course of the evening, I found APRS.fi as a website that does all the tracking of all the throughout the world. One time I was looking at a high-speed catamaran in Hong Kong, China Bay area, and it was going about 35 knots. And then I went back to the home base page, and I typed in the zip code for Big Bear, and I see the two weather reporting stations and I see your temperature is last reported to be 30 degrees. And anyway, there's three constant reporting APRS stations showing on the map right now for the Big Bear Lake area. And so it's amazing. You can just type it anywhere you want to look around the world, as Chris was saying. Hard to find a place that doesn't. And this is a lot more than what that earlier website that I had found was sort of limited to this information. This is a much bigger scope than what I first had to come up with. 5600.
Yeah, Chip, I think you're going to find, and I found, that's just amazing. And I was talking with K6RBK a few months back. We had a very, well, we go to the edge with some of these ideas and future projects of linking things together. I'd say the only limiting factor of APRS, and that's still not a limiting factor if you use it properly, is that it's right now 1,200 baud. Data rate. So, but that's still a lot better than 300. I know PSK31's down there a bit. A lot of people have a lot of fun with that. That's pretty neat. But I think, like you said, there's so many different people already set up, an established base, as we would call that. And it's been around a long time. So, anyway, good information there. Anyways, we're getting close to 8 o'clock. Going to close the net down here in a bit. Anybody else out there with any other questions or comments? We will keep it open past 8, but if we need to, but we're going to get close here. So, any other questions?
K6RBK with comment.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, station, go ahead.
If the gentleman from Temecula is still on, there's actually a digipeater up on Rodman Mountain, which is just north of Johnson Valley, so there's decent coverage out there. And in fact, that's typically the path that I find my data reaching the internet from my APRS station here at the house of Sugarloaf. And as far as rig recommendations, Kenwood has the, if you're talking about mobile rigs, Kenwood has the D700A and D710A, which are very popular APRS rigs, and Yaesu recently came out with the FT350R, which is an excellent 2-meter 440 rig that's APRS capable. K6RBK.
Thanks for that. This is KQ6GB Temecula. I did copy that. Thank you.
Good deal. Good information passed along there. K6RBK. That peak you're talking about, that now, is that just a digipeater, or is that at some place where it's actually an internet gateway? Okay, I think I lost him there. Not a big deal, but we can take this up again. Anyway, Stephen, K9AOG, are you still out there? KF6Q.
This is K9AOG. Yes, I'm still out here.
Is this an information overload or what?
Well, I've hit a lot of those sites, and I'm aware of many of the different functionalities of APRS. Good information.
A good deal. Yeah, and that's, you know what, we've been doing a lot of different things from QST Magazine. That was a very good point. Got your email, and I thought, you know what, that's pretty interesting. And the more I dug, the more I had to dig, and next thing I knew, it was getting close to 7 o'clock Tuesday night. But anyway, good deal. Anybody else out there before we close the net? Anything else to add or any other questions? We'll keep the net open. It does not matter. All right. Well, good deal. Do appreciate all the help out there tonight. Pretty interesting topic for even, like I said, I'm fairly new to this myself. Next thing you know, if you stick with it, a lot to learn. It's a huge, huge amount of different things we can do out there. So appreciate everybody else out there this evening that helped out and checked in. all the listeners out there, hope you enjoyed what we had and learned something. I know I've always learned something, and I run the net. always good stuff out there. We hear stuff from everybody. It's a matter of sharing information. So, all right, well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control, and I am net control. Wait a minute. Okay. For the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 2,000 hours exactly, returning the repeater to normal use. Thanks again to everybody out there. We'll see you all again next Tuesday, 1,900 hours. KF6Q.